Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to, you ought to answer each one. It's so important that we have that gracious speech, those gracious words, and that we speak grace when we're in conflict. Again, treating them as we would like to be treated, using words that we would like to hear. That's going to lead us to conflict resolution and not to bitterness and anger and resentment.
Today on a special edition of Back to Basics, Pastor Brian's wife Cheryl joins the talk to address wives as Pastor Brian addresses the husbands. Join us as we continue this special marriage talk on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, in a message titled, Love and Respect. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Well, the truth of the matter is, Cheryl's fairly easy to live with. She's very, very, it's very difficult to drive with her, but to live with her is, pretty easy. Driving's another story because she is the quintessential backseat driver.
I'm a GPS.
So this leads very well into the next subject, and that's love and conflict. Now, again, as I said earlier, you know, kind of thinking through some of the things that we felt like we might want to touch on here in the final session, this one to me is huge, because a love-filled marriage will not necessarily be a conflict-free marriage. You know, sometimes people get the idea, maybe it's because some others give the impression, you know, that if you really have a loving marriage, if you really have a godly marriage, you're never going to have a disagreement, you're never going to have a dispute, you're never going to have an argument. But that really isn't the case. And if you have those things, it doesn't mean that you have a bad marriage. I like to just refer to it as a lively marriage. Cheryl and I have a lively marriage. There's a lot of, as she mentioned first service, the proverb, you know, it's iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. But when you think about iron sharpening iron, what happens in that process? There are sparks that fly, right? And so sometimes that's the case. And I look over our years together, and we've had a lively, spark-filled marital experience. But, you know, we can stand before you today and say, you know, we absolutely love each other despite all of the disputes that we've had. I've often shared this. In our first year of marriage, I think we had a pretty serious dispute every single day for the first year. We 365 days that we would find something every day to just get in a serious argument over. Year two, I think we did it every other day. And, you know, maybe by the third year, we were maybe 3-4 times a week. But, you know, that whole thing just, they were fewer and farther between. And I think after the 10-year mark, you know, then we used to have a good row every, you know, once a month or something. And now it's amazing, after 3.5 decades together, you know, it's like every few years we'll have a good knockdown drag out. But you know, that's quite a bit of progress, as you can see, from every day to now. You know, sometimes there's years in between. Sometimes when we're getting into a pretty, you know, serious dispute, we'll think, wow, it's been a long time since we've been in anything like this. Now, all week long, we have been walking on eggshells around each other, because I told her in the early part of the week we were going to do this, and then I thought, boy, you know, something is going to try to wreck this thing. So I've been very sensitive to not take the bait as, you know, opportunities would come. And I'm sure that I gave her a few opportunities that she refused to take the bait on as well. But listen, just because you have these kinds of disputes and things, it doesn't mean that there's not genuine love in the marriage. A few years ago, we had a couples retreat from our church right here. Some of you might have been there. And Cheryl and I were the guest speakers for the weekend, and we were doing the main brunt of the teaching. And so we got there. Of course, it starts Friday night, so we did Friday night. We had a great time. And Sunday or Saturday morning, we had, you know, a session, and we did quite well. But between the Saturday morning session and the evening session, something happened. There was a dispute that arose between us. And it became so contentious that she said, "Forget it. You're on your own, buddy. I am not going back up there and speaking. It's over. I am, you know, you go talk to people about marriage. I'm not coming with you." So, of course, there was nothing I could do to convince her that she ought to just do it because it was the right thing to do. She refused to do it. So there I was Saturday night. I was up speaking at the marriage retreat on marriage by myself with my wife in the room. Now, that wasn't the worst part of it. The worst part of it was the whole time I was teaching, she was texting me little messages like, "Okay, you big hypocrite, tell everybody how to love their wives. Tell them what a great husband you are." And it was a pretty tough night to keep my focus. Listen, wherever you're at in your marriage, know there's hope. We are living proof that there is hope. So, you know, I don't buy this idea that, you know, people never fight. And, well, you know, if you were really a mature Christian, you wouldn't have anything like that. Again, quite a few years back, we were scheduled to go out to dinner for my oldest son's birthday. And we got in a little argument, and Cheryl decided, you know, she couldn't go. She had something else to do. So we went without her, and we were meeting another couple there, another family there. So we went down and started to have the dinner. And then she called and said, "Okay, you know, I finished what I needed to do. I'm going to come down now." So she came and joined us. And, as she came up to the table, she kind of said sheepishly to everybody, "Oh, you know, sorry, Brian and I had a little bit of a disagreement, but, you know, here I am." And she said, "You know what that's like." And they just looked at her with stone faces and said, "No, we don't know what that's like." And she said, "Oh, of course you do. You're just kidding, right? No, we're not kidding. We've never had a fight." And so she felt completely humiliated. She felt totally embarrassed. We made it through the dinner. And on the way home, she turned to me and she said, "Listen, we've got to quit this fighting. I never want to fight with you again. We can't fight anymore." And I said, "Oh, be quiet. We're going to keep fighting." Because this is just who we are. This is how we communicate. And beside that, I said, "Did you believe for one moment those guys don't fight? They were lying. Of course they fight. If you're breathing and you're a man and a woman in a marital relationship, you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have disputes. It's just the reality. It's the way it is." But the good news is it doesn't mean that there's not love. It doesn't mean that you don't have a good marriage. It just means, like I said, you have a lively marriage. Now, of course, as time goes on, like I said, you need to make progress in this area. But we still have our little things here and there. Our daughter is staying with us right now for a few days from New York, and she was telling us that the other night they were putting their 8-year-old to bed, and they were praying with him, and then he started to pray. And so he started to pray for his mom and dad, and he's, "You know, Lord, I just pray that you bless my parents, and I thank you for my parents." And then she said, and all of a sudden he goes, "And I pray that you would help them not to want to kill each other." And they both looked at each other like, "Uh-oh." You know, so, but they're doing well, apart from wanting to kill each other. So just because there's conflict doesn't mean there's not love. So what do? You grow past it. You take these things and they become constructive. They become ways to grow. And sometimes in the course of those disputes, I will be getting great insight into Cheryl. It's like, okay, I realize when I'm listening to her, she needs me to hear her on this. I need to change the way I think or feel or whatever. So the important thing in the marital relationship is communication. And sometimes if you have to communicate at a little higher volume, that's okay. Don't be condemned over it. It's just, in some cases, that's just the way it is. Right?
Yes, but...
Okay.
He had spent a couple $1,000s with one of my daughters, not telling me, at the retreat. It was a financial investment, and it put us in a bind. And I was angry. And that's what made my fingers move on the telephone, in the text. In fact, up until that point, I really didn't know how to text, but boy, did I learn fast. I can't remember the other situation, but I love the way he just, like, sugarcoats it, because I'm thinking, wait, no, there was more to that. I remembered there was more to that, but now I'm going to stick with my notes. Respect and conflict. All right. When we have conflict, our goal is conflict resolution. We want to get someplace. We want to be better off because we've had this conflict than when we went into it. And so part of that is to be respectful as women. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Words are powerful. I know they told you sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Not true. Especially as women, we tend to remember that name or that thing that we were called. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Then Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Women often feel powerless. We are the weaker vessel, and when we can't get our men to hear or to understand, to move or to stop, we'll use the strongest weapon we have. And unfortunately, that tends to be mean words. We say things like jerk, stupid, with emphasis. And we say dumb ahead, only because I was raised in a Christian home and that's as bad as it can get. But we say these things, and we don't mean it. We really don't mean it. If you were a dumb head, we could take over the marriage. Obviously, we don't mean it, because this is what we do when we're desperate. And yet, the minute that we begin to use these demeaning words, the man shuts down, the man stops listening, and he can't hear. And we need to pray. We need to pray that we can have constructive words. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is edifying. We need language that will build up, that will move us towards conflict resolution. In Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We need to speak as we desire to be spoken to. In fact, sometimes Brian is really, really good at tuning me out, and he's really good at spending time with his cell phone. So what I do is when I see that I'm not being heard, instead of using those mean words, I'll say, you know, I'll ask him a question like, Brian, did you realize that how clean the kitchen looked today?
Oh, yes, I did. Why, that was one of the cleanest kitchens I have ever seen in my life. Oh, Cheryl, no one can get those counters to sparkle like you. How blessed I am to have a wife that does the dishes, and only does the dishes, will make me food, will go to the market. I am a blessed, blessed man. And by the way, did I tell you you look younger every day? How blessed I am. Many have done nobly, but I have done so well.
I just say through him what I need to hear.
I'm sticking with you, baby. You're the one for me.
It helps pass the time. but talk and speak as you want to be spoken to. How you want to be addressed. If they're not listening, try it. Do their voice. Get the imitation down. Even Brian says sometimes he just goes quiet to hear what I'm going to say or what he's going to say. So there are certain phrases that shouldn't be used. Never say never. Don't say you never or you always. It's better to say things like I feel like, and this is how I feel, because it gives them a way out, because we women are so good at assuming and presuming. These are our gifts and our curse. We tend to, if he says, you look really good today. Oh, that means every other day of the year I look terrible. That's what you're saying. Or I really like this chicken. Oh, so you didn't like the beef that I cooked yesterday? You know, we have this way of assuming and presuming and reading between the lines things that never even came into their minds. I know that when Brian fell in love with Indian food, I was sure he wanted to leave me for a nice Indian woman who could do a good curry. Unfortunately, that's true, just like me texting him. But, you know, we assume and we presume, and we have to stop that, because we might not mean what we say, but they pretty much do. That's it. There's no delving deeper. It's, I said you're pretty. I meant P-R-E-T-T-Y. Pretty. Or is it P-E-R-T-T? Pretty. Pretty or pretty? That's why they have to go to their phone and do spell check. In Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to, you ought to answer each one. It's so important that we have those, that gracious speech, those gracious words, and that we speak grace when we're in conflict. Again, treating them as we would like to be treated, using words that we would like to hear. That's going to lead us to conflict resolution and not to bitterness and anger and resentment.
It is fascinating to me the conclusions that Cheryl can draw from certain statements that I make that have absolutely never, ever crossed my mind, such as, I really like curry, meaning I want to get a new wife who can make a good curry. Now, how she ever could get out of, I really like curry, that I want a new wife, I've never been able to figure that out. But I've seen over the years that, you know, that happens a lot. So I need to be thinking ahead when I'm saying things. You know, how is this going to be interpreted? Maybe there's a better way that I could say it. So it's not misinterpreted. But one thing that you shared in the last couple of services that you didn't share in this one, but maybe you should. When we were young, early on in the marriage, she used to threaten me with divorce all the time. That was just, you know, kind of just her way of trying to get some power in the thing. So just share about that.
So I used to use the divorce word. And one time Brian said to me, Cheryl, if you knew how much that hurt me when my parents divorced when I was young, you would never throw that word out at me. And I, you know, my parents never divorced, so I didn't know the pain that was involved with Brian and his childhood. And because it hurt him, I chose never to use that word ever again. Murder, yes. Divorce, no. No.
But as you said before, had I used that word with you, had I threatened you with that, that would have crushed you. That would have
absolutely crushed me.
Yeah.
Absolutely would have crushed me. I can, again, I want respect, but I don't want to give it. I mean, I'm getting better. I'm not like up here, like I'm still like this. I'm 95% better, seriously. But it's that respect.
And although respect is her topic, but I want to just jump over into it for a second, because of course, as husbands, we need to speak respectfully too. And I know, you know, I mean, guys, I think we're all similar in this way. I don't, it's really hard to hurt my feelings. I'm just not a feely kind of a guy for the most part. So, I mean, most of everything that she's ever said to me just is like water off a duck's back. I don't even think twice about it. But I know that she's different than I am. I know that she's very, very sensitive. And if I said the kinds of things to her, they would really crush her. And I would just say, you know, to you men, we talked last week about, you know, never being abusive, and not just physically abusive, but verbally abusive. And I've known occasions where, you know, guys have just said the cruelest things to their wives, even in my presence at times because of the counseling I do. And I just thought, wow, you know, if I said something like that to my wife, it would crush her, and it would, not just the moment I said it, but knowing her nature, it would go on and on. It would be very hard for her to forget that I had said that. So we need to be respectful as husbands in our, you know, the way, you know, I'm talking about allowing for the fact of conflict and all those things. You know, that's true, but we need to be really, really careful in those conflicts, in the things that we say. And there are certain things that just should never, ever, ever be said. And so find nice ways to address. Yeah, find nice ways to say mean things. That's what Cheryl just said. That's what I was trying to say. So moving on to the third point here and our final point together. And we were kind of struggling with, you know, what we wanted to say on this point. And for me, I just kind of put the heading love and happiness. But, you know, the thing is, of course, this is the desire of every person, right? Happiness. This is the desire, I think, of every married couple. If you ask people, well, what do you really want out of your marriage? I think most people would say, well, I want to be happy. But here's the thing that we don't realize. If you pursue happiness, you'll never find it. Happiness comes through love. If you pursue love, you'll get happiness. And the thing that I had in my mind, I think Cheryl does as well, is happiness is what you get when your love endures. One of the things that I find absolutely amazing is how things get better the farther down the road we go together in this relationship. And here we are after, like I said, you know, 3.5 decades or so, and I'm amazed at how things just keep getting better. And again, sometimes people are tempted to give up. Sometimes they think, well, you know, the problem is I just got the wrong person and I need to get a different person. It's the grass is greener on the other side of the fence or hill kind of a thing. But the reality is that's not true. The person that you're with, the road to happiness is with that person, staying with that person. It's learning how to love each other. That's where the happiness is going to come. So don't mistakenly think that, well, if I could just get out of this marriage and get into another one, then everything would be perfect. No. Happiness increases. Happiness in marriage increases as you journey through the seasons of life with one another. We need to stick it out because really the best is yet to come.
This month's resource is a book titled God and Stephen Hawking, where John Lennox responds to statements made by the late Stephen Hawking about God, science, and creation. Let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio in discussion about the spiritual value of this resource.
He also, at the end of the book, just does a beautiful job in presenting the gospel because he's really about Jesus and the gospel. So it's one of my favorite books. And as you can see, Cheryl, our listeners can't see it, but it's a relatively small book. So it's a fairly easy read, but it is very, very
And even though potent. He's a professor of mathematics at the University of Oxford, and he's just brilliant, it's readable. I
it
have
is.
To say that.
Yes.
That's what I really enjoy about John Lennox. It's
yeah.
readable and it's understandable.
Yeah.
So that's God and Stephen Hawking. Great book. Great summer read.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled God and Stephen Hawking by John Lennox. You can order the book God and Stephen Hawking by going to our website, brianbrodersen.uk. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book God and Stephen Hawking by John Lennox to help you understand the debate about God and science. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.